created for a purpose. I'll tell you a little bit about me first, if you don't know me. Many of you do, most of you do probably. excuse me, I'm struggling with a cold a little bit that I got on the airplane coming over here, and then jet lag, and now I've got cold medicine in me, and I can't be held responsible for what I say. I was just over in England visiting my son, Seth. Some of you know Seth. He's on staff in our YWAM base in Harpenton. YWAM means Youth with a Mission. It's the organization that I work with. And just before he went there, you know, my father passed away, so I had to arrange the trip to get on the plane from there and come back. My wife and my daughter went back to Georgia, and then my other son is in New Zealand right now. So we're kind of spread out around the world, but it's exciting to see what they're doing. So, yeah, this is I wrote John and Ron and Scott and anybody that would answer my emails. You know, I'm going to be here. Can I speak, or do you have any opportunities for me? I'll talk to kids, adults, anybody. I love to share. I never would have imagined it when I was young that I actually liked to stand in front of people and talk. You know, get me to stand in front and play music, that's another thing. You know, I get a little nervous with that, but just to come up and talk is kind of fun for me. It energizes me. So, my name's Dennis. I've got my wife, Corrine, and three children. We work in the Republic of Georgia, as Ron said. This is the flag of the Republic of Georgia. If you look on the website, at least it used to say, the flag of Georgia, this is an old Crusaders flag. It was brought back after the time of the Soviet Union, that the center cross stood for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And the other four crosses stand for the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so can you tell what kind of country they are? Muslim, right? No, I'm kidding. They are the second oldest Christian nation in the world. The king and queen of Georgia decided they would be a Christian nation in about the year 335, so about 1,700 years ago. And so still, about 80% of the population are Orthodox. If you don't know what that is, it's a branch of Christianity. We have three branches of Christianity. Basically, we have Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant, and they are the Orthodox. And the Orthodox and the Catholics broke off from each other over something about 1,000 years ago, which I don't remember all about it, but so that's Orthodoxy, comes from Eastern Orthodoxy. And, so it's always a challenge reaching out to them, because in a nation like that, when people will say to you with a straight face, oh, I'm Christian, but I don't believe in God. Yeah, it would, we kind of snicker a little bit at that, but it's their tradition. It's who they are, you know, and you kind of go, okay. I get the pleasure of, and our staff, of pointing people back to relationship with God. Back to the God of the Bible, back to the relationship with Jesus Christ, what he came for, to point at our flag and say, hey, you know what those crosses mean? You know, they don't always think about it. I mean, don't just laugh at Georgia. We have to laugh at ourselves a little bit. I've had people tell me, I'm born in America. I guess I'm a Christian. You know, like, I share with them, no, I actually need to be born again, you know? This is our nation. If you look up there, it's maybe it's not real clear. That's the Black Sea on that side, and the Caspian Sea on that side. I have swam in both of those. I love the ocean. I grew up over here, and anytime I'm near any kind of water, I get in it with my mask and snorkel. So Georgia's right in the middle. A little bit north of Georgia is southern Russia. That'd be Chechnya, Dagestan, Ingushetia, all Muslim republics, and radical Muslim republics. Chechnya is always having trouble. They've had two wars with Russia. I was living in Russia when they had the last war, and I went down and ministered during that time, and it was, memories that I would like to erase from my mind, but stay in there to remind me of the important things in life. Also, down here on this side is Turkey. Turkey is about 75 million people with about 6,000 Christians. So they're one of the most unreached people groups in the world. They're a secular state, but for them to be Turkish is to be Muslim. And so we actually have a team right now, our DTS team. There's a couple of DTS students here, right? Where are you guys at? Put your hands up. There you are. All right. Good job. Giving it all for Jesus, man. I love it. Youth with a mission. And me. Yeah, we have a team down in, actually in southern Turkey right now, near the Syrian border where they've been having the conflict, a place called, and a little further down, Antakya. It used to be called Antioch. Probably heard of that from the Bible. And another place called Iskandarun, if I can say it right, Alexandria, used to be called. And yeah, so they're down there, just a team of young people, and they're reaching out to churches, helping them, encouraging them, going to people's houses. You have to be kind of undercover when you're in some of these nations. You know, you really have to go in relationship-oriented, not program-oriented, to be able to talk to them about Jesus. But I tell you, people are so open. I know we hear, see a lot of things on the news here about Muslims, but I've never had a Muslim say to me, I don't want to talk about God. I've been in mosques. I go into mosques and I pray. We were in a mosque a couple years ago with our DTS team, and one of our girls led another young lady to Christ in the mosque. She challenged her, said, you want to know God, don't you? That's why you're here. She said, yes, I want to know God. She said, let me tell you about him. And right there, she prayed to receive Jesus. I was in a mosque in Egypt. And, and I began to talk with some young people there about the Lord. And it was fun, really. I mean, you know, if Muslims come to our town, go find them. Because if we don't go to them, God will bring them to us. God is all about fulfilling the Great Commission, even if we're not. You know what I mean? So he'll bring us the opportunities. And just keep reaching out. We also, what else do we do? We've been there for, like Ron said, about 10 years. There's a little circle there. Tbilisi is the capital of Georgia. We moved down there 10 years ago from southern Russia, where we had worked for 7 years before that. We felt like God was wanting us to go to this place where there were very few missionaries at the time, where there was no YWAM, no youth with a mission there yet. So we came down and we say, in our missionary speak, we say we pioneered the place. We went down and started YWAM. And we've had many staff over the years. Currently we have about 18 staff. And the two main things God has really called us to is working with Muslims and working with children. And often it's Muslim children. We have a kids camp, kids club every week at our house. So in our basement, all the kids from our village come. And we live in a Muslim village just outside of Tbilisi, mostly Azerbaijani people. They're on the other side. See, it says in the corner there, Azerbaijan. It's supposed to be Azerbaijan. And a lot of them are living in Georgia as well. And so they come to our house every week, and they're excited to know about God. They're excited to know that God loves them. And we very slowly introduce them to God and to Jesus. And we love doing that. I mean, it's worth it just for these little kids. But we also reach out to Kurdish people. We have a team that works with Kurds. Do you know what Kurdish people are? Have you heard of ISIS? Okay, everybody knows about these terrorist guys that are taking over Iraq and Syria. And well, one of their main targets has been the Kurdish people. Recently, America sent in some planes and some special forces to rescue these people off the top of a mountain. If you remember that in the news, these were Kurdish people. They were just singling them out for destruction. So some of our guys are, these are not Christians, the Kurds. They're either Muslims or they're Yazdi, which is a form of sun worship. I mean, not son of God, just the sun. And so our guys have been going down there and working with them, and it's really exciting to see what's happening with them, because it's so impressive for them to see a Kurdish person coming to them as a Kurdish Christian rather than somebody like me who's, you know, I grew up in America, but somebody from their own nation coming to them and sharing with them. You know, you can find God, you can know God. And so my job is just to, as their leader, to encourage them, to spur them on, to give them what they need, you know, to get them down there. And I love that. Yeah, and I could talk a lot more about what we do. And I feel like I was just here a year and a half ago, so maybe it doesn't seem like very long. We usually come back to the States about every 3 years. So, but I want to just say after the service, if you'd like to talk at all about Georgia, what we're doing over there, if you're interested in coming, come. The world is your, I said, what did we say? The world's your tomato, or your world is your onion, or something like that? Maybe not onion. Oyster, something like that. It's just waiting for you to open, you know? And really, I grew up in this church. I sat in these pews. I gave my life to Jesus right here in an evening service with a guy named Mark McCandless, who was the youth pastor. I came forward and I prayed. It was kind of funny because Mark was given this great invitation, and there was probably about this many people in church, and talking about, you know, the importance of giving your life to Christ. Because it all begins when you find salvation. You can't ever hope to find your purpose in life or your calling or your destiny without Jesus, because He created us. And He, that's the title of the sermon, He created us for a purpose. And so, you know, we all prayed, and Mark said, anybody who would like to receive Christ, just raise your hand. So I, like this, my heart's pounding. I raised my hand, I put it down, like, oh, that was easy. You know, and then stopped the prayer. Mark says, now, anybody who raised their hands, would you just like to come up front? We're going to pray with you. Suddenly I went, and so I thought, well, I'll just wait till some of the others come up, and then I'll come up behind them. I waited, and I waited, and then I realized I was the only one that raised my hand. So I came up and prayed with Mark right here to receive Christ. I think I was about 13. Yeah, and it doesn't mean, I'm not saying I always lived for Christ. And that's part of the message this morning is we come to Christ, but that's the beginning, right? It's not the end. It's not just something we do in addition to our lives. Hopefully we come to Christ and then we say to God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? We don't say, what do you want me to do, and then I'll get to heaven. Orthodox people that I work with, they, if you ask them how you get saved, they'll almost always tell you, well, you got to do a lot of good things. You got to go light candles. You need to pray to the saints. You need to, and they have this whole list of things that they need to do. And I will sit with them for an hour and tell them about grace, you know, and how you come to Christ. And then at the end of the hour, I was with some university students, very intelligent young people. And at the end of an hour talk, I said, now, what do you need to do to be saved? And one of them raised their hand and says, well, you got to do a lot of good things. And I thought, did you hear anything I said? But when you've been hearing something for 20 years, and then suddenly somebody challenges your worldview, it's hard to switch. But then one of the other young people said, no, he said you got to get saved first, and then you do good works. I said, yeah, one person got it. Yeah, so it's that's a challenge. It's the same mentality for us often. So we get saved, and then we say to God, what have you created me for? And I want to talk a bit about that this morning, because that's what God has been challenging me with. And I don't know if you've ever asked God that question before. I don't know. There may be some here that haven't even received Christ yet. I just want to tell you, you can do it right now. You can bow your head and just say, God, I want to be yours. I received your gift of salvation. Thank you that you died for me on the cross. I want to give you all my sins, my mistakes, my successes. I want to give them to you, and I want to live for you. And then life will begin for you in a new way. And then you can just say to God, now what? Take me where you want me to go. My wife and I asked that question of each other when we got married. We said, what do we want to do? We were believers. We got married here in the church. Well, we got married up at Buena Vista Point, if you know where that is, up by the cross, and had a reception here. And we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? We'll do anything you want. Go anywhere. But we don't want to live ordinary lives. I'd had scads of jobs. I mean, I started working here on the island when I was 11 years old. My dad, one thing I learned from him was a work ethic. When I said I wanted a motorcycle, he said, sure, you can get a motorcycle. As long as you make the money, you pay for it. So each summer it was go to work. You know, I worked at the Catalina Souvenir Shop, if you know what that is, down on Front Street. I worked at the Glenmore. I worked at the Yacht Club. I worked for the Conservancy. I worked for the Island Company. I worked for Bill Jones, the plumber, and almost every other restaurant in town. And I ended up with managing campgrounds, the ones in the interior and then the one here in town at one time or another. You know, so, but I never really felt like that was my purpose. Maybe that's why I wasn't always so good at it. You know? I know where I am now is where I'm supposed to be, and I love it there. And I think that's how you know when you're in God's purposes. Not that you're enjoying everything, but that you can say, God, I'm where you want me to be right now. That's where satisfaction comes. That's where joy comes. And if you're not in that place, I want to challenge you today to ask God, where do you want me to be? So Ephesians 2:8-10, maybe we could read that. Okay, we're going backwards. Okay. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And often we stop there, and we say, oh, thank you, God, that you have bought our salvation, that we can't work towards it. Nothing we can do can earn that. Jesus earned it for us on the cross. We just need to go to the cross and say, thank you. Just receive it, you know? But then we miss that second part. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a purpose for us. It talks about in the Bible as well, like predestination. Some of us don't like that idea of, you know, our future already being planned for us. We want to be the one at the helm, you know, the one controlling our destiny. But one thing I found in life is that being at the helm is not always the best place to be. But trusting God to steer your ship, to be your pilot, that's where the safety comes in. That's where the satisfaction comes in, with releasing and saying to God, I will go where you go. I will do what you want me to do. Like the song we sang, was it the first service or did we do the second service? Yeah. Where you go, I'll go. Where you... Something I forget now. It's probably written down here. It's a good thing. We'll sing it later. So recently, God had been challenging me that I had kind of plateaued. You know, that I wasn't moving forward in the Lord. That, yeah, I had reached a place of our ministry being established, more staff coming on, good things happening, but that I had kind of been gotten satisfied with the status quo. You know, I'm a missionary, I'm on the mission field, I'm doing the mission stuff, I'm serving God, and it sounds real holy and really spiritual, but you can get it to a place where you're not moving forward. You know, and then you know it because dissatisfaction starts coming in. You start going, you know, and you start getting kind of itchy for something new. You know, I mean, at least me, that's how I'm built. And so I had to start asking God, what do you want for me now? I'm in this place. I'm in this place of leadership. People are trusting me, but am I really qualified to be their leader? You know, am I qualified to lead these people? Not if I'm not walking with Jesus. If I haven't got my hand in his hand and he's leading me, I'm really not qualified. So I began to talk to my leaders about how I could grow. How could I get challenged? And my leader said to me, you know, you should think about taking this leadership development course. It's kind of like, you know, the DTS program that running over the Bible Church, and we've had lots of young people go through DTS, Discipleship Training School, in our church here. Excuse me. But this is like a DTS for leaders. So I went to this, and it was all about character. It wasn't about methods. It wasn't about, you know, learning some new skills. We did that too, but it was all about looking at ourselves too. Are we growing? You know, are we becoming more and more being formed into the character of Christ? And part of that was, through that, they offered a coaching program. It's called Life Coaching. And I thought, what kind of a mental person or, you know, incomplete brained person, I don't know how to say it nicely, needs coaching. It's like, come on, you can do it, you can do it. It's not something you do with little kids, right? Little League. You know, but I thought, God, I was challenged. Am I desperate enough yet to humble myself to say, I will do anything to grow? And I just had to say, yes. Because we had conflict happening on our base. We had one of our couples on the base was really having problems, and their main problem was with me. And, you know, I can't say I'm totally at fault there. They had some immaturity going on there too, but I thought, I need to grow. I need to get more tools here so that I can minister to everybody. And so I joined this life coaching thing. And the life coaching thing is, it's not counseling, it's not mentoring, it's not getting advice. Really, you go to your coach and he says, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? You know, and so you have to kind of go, whoa, well, this is what I'd like to be. I'd like to be better at staff care. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Oh, well, I probably should do this. Okay, let's do that. I'm writing this down. And we meet in 2 weeks. I'm going to ask you if you did it, you know, and how it's going. And they kind of, you know, help push you through. And it was humbling for me. But, you know, I found out I really liked it. My coach was an awesome guy, and I'm still working with him. In fact, when I leave here, I'll fly to Spain for a seminar on coaching. And I know it must be working because my wife said to me the other day, I notice you're a little different. You're doing better. You're working better with people. There's something changing about you. And that was so good for me to hear because I felt like I was stuck in a rut. And that's one of the challenges I want to give you is, how is your life going? Do you feel like you're moving forward? I know one friend of mine, he said, well, he was a businessman. I mean, high power kind of business guy. And he says, I retired and I went home, felt like I had reached the top of the heap. And I retired and I went home, I sat on the couch, and I felt like I started to die. He says, because I watched TV and I ate too much. And I looked at my life and I thought, I'm going nowhere. He had tasted the pinnacle of success, worldly success. And so he said, I just got up and I went to the nearest YWAM base. And he said, what can I do? I'll be your maintenance man. Give me some purpose. I mean, he prayed. He asked God for some leading. And since then, gosh, he's got to be in his 80s now. He's still serving full-time in the mission. He's gotten his first wife had passed away. He's gotten remarried. And I mean, his life is like, for him, it's just starting. But it started with him coming to God and saying, what purpose do you have for me? And you can ask that question now when you're a teenager or when you're 85. Because God is always ready to work with us. He's always ready to move us forward. And we cannot miss the purposes of God unless we just never come to him. Because he is ready to pick us up and move us forward wherever we're at. And me, after being a missionary for 17 years, and, you know, really, I've had a lot of education in it and a lot of seminars and training and really thinking I'm knowing what I'm doing. But I realized that there's always more. You know, I got to keep coming back to Jesus. I got to have my daily quiet times every morning where I get out my Bible, I read my Bible, and I talk to Jesus. And I just, you know, it's not just reading. It's not about getting through a chapter every day or two chapters. Anybody ever done the one-year Bible? I have never been able to finish that. I do more like the 3 to 5 year Bible. But I do it. I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I just keep going through it, you know? So I don't know how many times I've read my Bible. But the more I do it, the more it's turned into a conversation with God. I read it and I say, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you challenging me with today? And it might be a relationship, it might be something, and it could be a pat on the back. We often think that we come to Jesus and he's all about correction. God's all about judgment. He's not. He's all about encouraging us to go forward. You know, about saying, hey, good job. You know, he likes to say that. And if we're listening for it. So moving forward with God, being with him on a daily basis, and got to get back to my notes here. So we are saved for a purpose. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to get us into heaven. Jesus died on the cross to bring us into relationship with God the Father. Now, eternity doesn't start when you die. Eternity starts when you give your life to Christ. I mean, what did Jesus say? He says, those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And those who live and believe in me will never die. We know we still die physically, but life begins. Life goes forever. And God has not put us on this earth just to get saved, but to walk with him, to fulfill his purposes on the earth. And he delights in using us. We are his children. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. You're a child before him. And he wants to use us. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul is writing to the Hebrew church, and he's kind of rebuking them. He's saying, by now, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And he was saying, look, you got saved. Why aren't you moving forward? Why aren't you coming into the things that God has for you? And they needed that challenge. Yeah, but by this time you should be moving forward. And I want us to examine ourselves. Are we in the place where we want to be? Are we in the place where we feel like this is the place, this is where God wants me, this is where I'm moving forward, this is where I'm growing in Christ? Or are we just maintaining? Are we living off that joy of our salvation and just, but we still got a bottle in our mouth? You know, we're just still drinking the milk? Or have we moved on to what we call righteousness? What is righteousness? You could get a lot out of that big spiritual word, but really it just means right living, doing what's right. And I'm not talking about living a life of legalism, you know, following the Ten Commandments and every 640 whatever commandments there are in the Bible. I'm talking about living right, living with God. Who leads us in righteousness but the Holy Spirit? We follow the Lord. We give our lives to Him and He leads us, but we have to be going to Him, seeking Him. And that's part of the challenge this morning is, it was for me, is can I continue to go back to Him every day, every week, however often, and say, God, what do you want to do with me today? How do you want to move me forward? I compared it in the last sermon to like swimming in a river. You know, we get into this river of living water, into salvation, but do we just float downstream? Or are we, you know, paddling to go forward against the world? Because the world is fighting against us. It wants to quiet us. It wants to keep us quiet and ineffective. Or so it's a battle. You know, the devil's working against us. Our own selfishness is working against us, honestly. But can we battle against that and go forward? We can only do that with the Lord. Constantly going to Him and saying, God, challenge me again. I trust You. I'm going to go wherever. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to go to whoever You have for me. I want to be there. As we do that, God will continue to move us forward. Because sometimes in life, we feel like we're sinking. Sometimes we feel like we're just moving backwards. You know, do you get out of bed in the morning with joy? Or do you get out of bed and you say, gosh, another day, what do I do today? Or man, I just got to go back and do this and do that, and there's no joy in it. I'm not saying you have to quit and become a missionary. If you want to, you're welcome. Come. Well, I got room for you. Come. But what I'm saying is right where you're at right now, you can say to Jesus, hey, I want to do anything You want me to do. And He might just say, yeah, well, why don't you go across the street and talk to your neighbor about Jesus? Or, you know, there's that old lady over there. No one ever visits her. Let's go spend some time with her. And in that way, we're fulfilling the purposes of God. We tend to think of the purposes of God as being, you know, if you're really going to serve God, you have to be a pastor or a missionary or some evangelist. But there's probably enough of those already. What God needs is every believer to be active, to be reaching out, to do those little things. We probably never would have heard of Mother Teresa if it wasn't for modern news, right? She goes, she gives up everything to serve the dying, the least of the least. Probably no one has ever cleaned up more messes than that woman, physical messes. You know, and yet she got famous, and yet she was such a humble little lady. She was just doing what God called her to do. She wasn't intending to be famous. And that's all God wants us for us. That's all He wants from us. It's just to be serving Him, to be in that place of relationship with Him and walking in His ways. And you know, you will feel the joy of the Lord. You will feel His hand upon you. You will know that He is with you. And there's no better place, I can tell you, than being in that place where God has called you to. You know, I mean, yeah, I live on the other side of the world, but I go through the same things everybody else does. I got to get up every morning and, you know, and say, am I going to go forward with God, or am I just going to do the same old things in the same old ways? You know, maintain. And I'll tell you, there's no joy in that. It doesn't last long. Because God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good things. And when you're a part of that, joy comes, fulfillment comes, purpose comes into your life. All these things that at the core need, we need, right? Don't we? Everybody needs to know they're valuable. If you've ever, maybe you haven't, been to an orphanage, they don't really have those here anymore, do they? But some of the guys that are going to Haiti and other places like that, you walk in and their kids have no purpose. They have no value. They have no love. They have no sense of destiny because no one has ever told them they had one. And when you can begin to share that with them, boy, they come alive. And I've seen some orphans' lives just turn around. But at the core of everyone, we all have those same questions. Am I valuable? Am I created for a purpose? And when we give our lives to Christ and we begin to walk with him, then those questions, those big questions of life begin to be answered in us. And we find our joy and we find our purpose. Life is not always easy. We all have challenges. People often say, oh, Dennis, I could never do what you do. It's so, you're such a hero. It's so difficult over there. I'm thinking, no, I like what I do. You know what? I don't want to come back here. I like what I do. But there's challenges whether you're here or there, right? Always something in life. And I wouldn't trade what I do for anything. I found my place in life. I was made to be a missionary. But seek God and ask him, what is your place? And don't give me excuses why you can't do it. Why you can't do it. I was talking with one lady downstairs. Forget her name. Older lady. She looked like she was probably 65, 70. And she says, you know, I'm getting ready to leave the island and go to this place, Upper Michigan, and do some work for the Lord up there. And people are telling me I'm crazy for leaving the island. But she says, I can't wait to get there. This is what God wants me to do. And I thought, yeah, I saw that excitement in her, you know, that she was going to step out even at her age and do something new. And I thought, yeah, and she encouraged me. She said, you spoke exactly what I needed to hear, and two or three other people. And it's funny, they're all older people that came to me and said that. Because, you know, we think as we get older that, well, I'm just always going to be doing the same thing. And where am I going? What is my purpose? You know, maybe I've done everything I can do in my life. But to see this excitement, this little children kind of excitement in their eyes, this glow of, yeah, God has something for me. It was exciting. You know, you see it in young people. You know, it's natural because they're not afraid of anything because they just haven't learned to be afraid yet. That's why we're Youth with a Mission. We send people all over the world. They're young because they haven't figured out that some things are impossible yet. They don't know that. And yet they go out and do the impossible because they don't know that, you know, like we think when we get older, well, I couldn't do this. Well, I can't do that. Oh, as the scripture says, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength as we come to him, as we live for him. How can we move forward? I just want to say again, we got to commit our lives to the Lord. We got to go back to him, whether we're believers or unbelievers. We got to get on our knees and say, God, I'm yours. Everything I have is yours. We have to look at our own hearts, our own attitudes. We got to stop thinking about the past. Some of us have had hurts. Some of us have had difficult pasts. But you know, we can say to God, I give you that. I want to move forward. I'm not going to be stuck in this rut anymore. I'm going to forgive those people who hurt me. I'm going to ask for forgiveness for those who I've hurt, and I'm going to choose to move forward. If there's things in your life that are not right, yeah, you got to deal with those. If you're in some kind of sin, there's something holding you back, whether it's unbelief or a host of other things that can crowd into our lives, you have to go to God and say, forgive me. Help me to deal with this. Get this out of the way, because this is going to hinder me. This is an anchor in my life that I don't need, that's holding me. And you know what those things are. You can go to God, right? You can say, God, I'm just open to you. Show me anything that's hindering me in my life. And he's faithful because he loves us. He'll show us those things. Not so he can point his finger at us and condemn us, but so that we can be set free. Because that's what he came to, set us free, right? He promised us abundant life as we live with him. And as someone was saying to me downstairs, I just don't know how to get started. You know, I just don't know, how do I hear from the God? You got to start small. You go to him and you say, God, what would you have me do? And you begin to be obedient. It might be a little thing at first. And you know, if you're wrong, she said, but what if I make the wrong decision? What if I step out into something and I made a mistake? Well, we serve a loving, living God, and he will say to you, hey, you're going the wrong direction. But someone said once, it's much easier to steer a car that is moving You ever try to steer a car with power steering, like one of those old V8s, you know, that's really heavy, and you went, you know, but when it's moving, suddenly it becomes easy. And as we move forward, even little steps, things become more clear. I have no idea how I ended up in Georgia, but I know it started with my wife and I basically saying, God, we'll go anywhere, we'll do anything you want us to do. And then taking one little step at a time, going, taking a big risk, quitting my youth directorship or whatever it was called here at the church and going to Hawaii to do a DTS and then, you know, and then taking a Bible school and then coming back and getting to work and then getting blown up in a fire, you know, and spending 10 days in a hospital where God challenged me and he said, Dennis, did I create you to be a campground director? I kind of went, well, I like my job, but I'm not sure. He says, or did I create you to be a missionary, to go to the ends of the earth? Because I really felt like that was my purpose, and I had to say yes. So when I got out of the hospital, I came to Ole and I said, I quit. And he was probably relieved. And we left right after that, January 1998, and we haven't come back. Been full-time ever since. But it starts with little steps. And I want to say it's not always comfortable. God is not so concerned with our comfort as he is our character. And character is not built in good times. So don't expect it's going to be easy. People will make fun of you. They think you're crazy. I mean, so many people said to me, oh, Dennis, you know, you can be a missionary right here in town. You don't need to go anywhere. I said, yeah, sure I could. But, you know, all of you are already here. I could probably go and I won't be missed that much. You know, so yeah, it's humbling and it's not always going to be comfortable, but joy, character, they come through suffering. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross to buy our sins. How can we think that we can do things for God without any suffering, without any pain, without any sacrifice? That might mean standing up one day and say, man, I just quit my job. I'm out of here. I got to go. I got to follow the Lord. First, you have to convince your spouse that it's the right thing. But fortunately, I have a wife who was behind it, and it's her mission as well. So yeah, moving forward, taking those little steps, humbling ourselves before the Lord, and just going to him and saying, I'll do anything, anywhere. Okay, I'm going to end with that, because I'm already a little over time here, so... I want to pray for you. If you feel like maybe you're in this situation where you want more, you're hungry, you want more out of life, you want to see more of God, you want to move forward. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a rut. Maybe you're right where God wants you, and that's good. I want to encourage you to stay there, but don't get stuck there. Keep moving forward. That's what I like about the Bible Church, my amen partner over here. Every time I go there, there's something new. Either a new door or a window's been torn out and put back in by Enrique, or there's some new people living there. You know, I come back this time, there's a DTS going on. I had no idea. And, moving forward, it sometimes looks a little chaotic, you know? But are we touching people's lives? So I'm going to pray. Pray with me if you like. If you are hungry for that, just open up to the Lord. Father, I thank you so much that you are a God who creates and is creating. You created us for good works, for good purposes. You predestined us to do good works for you, Lord, to walk with you and to participate in what you're doing in this world and in through eternity. And Lord, we just want to say we want to be part of that. We want to give you everything we have. Every good situation, every difficult situation. We want to give you our lives, our jobs, our spouses, our children. We want to give you our hopes and dreams, Lord. We want to give you our finances. We want to give you even these things that hinder us, Lord, the sin and the selfishness that come into us so easily, Lord. We want to give that to you, Lord, because you take that and you put it on the cross. You're not afraid of our sin, Lord. You stand out and you say, please, give it to me, trust me, and I will take it away. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray even now that you begin to speak each one of us and show us how to move forward, how to be walking in your ways. Because Lord, we want to know that abundant life that Jesus talked about. Thank you that you're so willing to give that, so willing to participate in our lives. You are a loving and gracious and good Father. Jesus, you call us brothers. You call us friends. You call us your co-workers. And what a pleasure it is to be that. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't just forget about this message when we walk out. Lord, that we'll continue to go to you. That your Holy Spirit will just set it in our hearts. That we will wake up every morning or every evening and just say, whoa, God, what are you doing today? How can I be part of it? How can I be part of it? How can I move forward? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this awesome invitation to walk with you, to know you, and to walk in your ways. We love you, Lord. Amen.